In this free church, we come together without creed, focusing instead on our shared values of justice, equity, and compassion, of mutual acceptance of our diverse ways of being as we seek to connect ourselves more fully with the unfolding truths of life and of our world. We come together in the firm conviction that community is possible and that peace is more than a dream. We commit together to affirm in our deeds as well as our words the inherent worth and dignity of each and every human being. We come together in awareness of our interdependence with all humanity and with the wider web of existence of which we are a part. We come together to pool our resources and strengthen our resolve to build beloved community and truly put our faith into action. And as we gather, we sense our connectedness with all who have come together this morning, all who have ever walked through our doors or joined our gathered community via the internet, and all those who may yet discover this place as their spiritual home. So whoever you are, however you are, and wherever you are, know that you are welcome here just as you are. Let us bring our whole selves to this hour of worship. These opening words by Maureen Killoran welcome all who have gathered here this morning for our Sunday service. Welcome to those of you who are gathered here in person at Essex Church, and all those who are joining via Zoom from far and wide. For anyone who doesn't know me, my name is Janine Powell, and I am Community Development Coordinator here at Kensington Unitarians, and I'll be leading this morning's service as our minister, Jane Blackhall, is still recovering from COVID at home, although with the miracles of technology, she'll be joining us via Zoom to lead our prayers and share her reflection later on in the service. This morning's theme is being human. And there's a quote by James Luther Adams on the front of your order of service this morning. And for years it was on one of the notice boards outside. And it says, "Church is a place where you get to practice what it means to be human." So this morning we're going to reflect on being human, on our common humanity, in a week where perhaps we're all too aware of inhumane acts of violence and occupation going on in our world. So before we go any further, let's take a moment to get settled and centered and ready for worship. This is an hour in which we can catch up with ourselves, be grounded and present, and just breathe. Be here now with your whole self, in this, our beloved community, as we attend to what matters most in life. Let's light our chalice flame now, as we do each week, This simple ritual connects us in solidarity with Unitarians and Unitarian Universalists the world over, and reminds us of the proud and historic progressive religious tradition of which we are a part. Out of the flames of fear, we rise with courage of our deepest convictions to stand for justice, inclusion, and peace. Out of the flames of scrutiny, we rise to proclaim our faith with hope to heal a fractured and hurting world. Out of the flames of doubt, we rise to embrace the mystery, wonder and awe of all there is and all that is yet to be. Out of the flames of hate, we rise with the force of love, love that celebrates our shared humanity. So in troubled times, let us look first to the response of love. May our chalice flame bear witness to the inherent worth and dignity of every human being. Let's sing together now. Our first hymn is number 229 in your green book, One World This, a hymn which speaks of our common humanity the world over. And I'm going to ask Andrew to play it through in full, as we don't sing it often. And for those joining via Zoom, the words will be up on your screen to sing along at home. Feel free to stand or sit as you prefer as we sing hymn number 229. Thank you. be seated.
Let's take all those joys and concerns into an extended time of prayer now. This prayer is based on some peace prayers by Douglas Taylor and Joan Chittister. You might want to adjust your position to get more comfortable. You might want to close your eyes. Perhaps there's a posture that helps you to feel more prayerful. Whatever helps you get into the right state of body and mind to pray together now. Let's be fully present in this sacred time and space we've co-created with ourselves, with each other, and with that which is both within us and beyond us. Spirit of life, God of all love, in whom we live and move and have our being. We turn our full attention to you, the light within and without, as we tune into the depths of this life and the greater wisdom to which and through which we are all intimately connected. Be with us now as we allow ourselves to drop into the silence and the stillness at the very center of our being. We gather today as people reaching across human differences, sharing our ongoing commitment to compassion and truth together, despite the tragic evidence of violent conflict and needless suffering the world over. In this quiet moment, let us cry out for the suffering of our world, for the wars and occupation across the waters far away from us, for the terror and devastation wrought by bombs and by blockades alike, and for all those ripples of fear and hatred we witness much closer to home. For brutality and corruption, for violence and distrust, such waste of life. For refugees fleeing inhumane conditions and traumatized by cruelty. Spirit of life, God of all love, hear our cry and help us to become instruments of your love. Let us speak in solidarity with the disempowered. Let us devote our lives to the ways of peace and justice. Let us join with voices of compassion and remember our common humanity. We ask for the grace to be our best selves, to be merciful, patient, gracious and trusting. We ask for the vision to be builders of the human community rather than its destroyers. We ask for the humility as a people to understand the fears and hopes of other people. We ask for the heart it takes to care for all people as well as ourselves. And in a quiet moment now, we lift up those places in our own lives, in our own hearts, where burdens, sorrow and anxiety reside. May there be peace. May there be grace. May there be the support that we most need. And in this quiet moment, let us give thanks for the blessings in our own lives, for home and family and friends, for faith and for meaningful work, we give thanks. And for our ability to gather in this way as people of peace, we give thanks. And in this quiet moment, let us ask for the guidance we need to find our way in the world. We each have our own part to play, no matter how humble, in the world's salvation. So may we discern what is ours to do in the place where we stand for the common good. Spirit of life, God of all love, as this time of prayer draws to a close, we offer up our joys and our concerns, our hopes and our fears, our beauty and our brokenness, and we call on you for insight, healing and renewal. As we look forward now to the coming week, help us to live well each day and be our best selves, using our unique gifts in the service of love, justice and peace. Amen.
Let's sing together now. Our next hymn is on your hymn sheets, "The World Needs Love." A message that is true whenever we sing it, but particularly at this moment. It's to a well-known tune, Finlandia, and the words will be up on screen as usual. Feel free to stand or sit as you prefer.
Thank you. This reading is adapted from We Are All More Human Than Otherwise by Richard Gilbert. The human race is a vast rainbow bursting into view. A multitude of variations, each one unique and irreplaceable. Yet for all, blood is red, the sky is blue, the earth is brown, the night is dark. In size and shape, we are a varied pattern of tall and short, slim and stout, elegant and plain. Yet for all, there are fingers to touch, hearts to break, eyes to cry, ears to hear, mouths to speak. In tongue, we are a Tower of Babel, a great jumble of voices grasping for words, groping for ways to say love, peace, pity, and hope. Faiths compete, claiming the one way. Saviours abound, pointing to salvation. Not all can be right, not one. We are united only by our urge to search. Boundaries divide us, lines drawn to mark our diversity, maps charted to separate the human race from itself. Yet a mother's grief, a father's love, a child's cry, a musician's sound, an artist's stroke, they break down the boundaries and shatter the walls. Strength and weakness, arrogance and humility, confidence and fear, live together in each one, reminding us that we share a common humanity. We are all more human than otherwise.
We are moving into a time of meditation now. I'm going to share a poem, Human Beings, by Adrian Mitchell, to take us into the silence. It was written back in 2004, and in keeping with the rest of our service today, it speaks to our common humanity. It is a call for unity and a reminder, if we really needed one, that our concerns about conflict and division in our world are sadly nothing new. The poem will take us into 3 minutes of silence, which will end with the sound of a bell. Then we'll hear some music from Benji and Andrew to continue the meditative mood. So let's do what we need to do to get comfortable. Adjust your position if you need to. Put your feet flat on the floor to ground yourself. Close your eyes. And as we always say, the words are an offering. Feel free to use this time to meditate in your own way. Human Beings by Adrian Mitchell. Look at your hands, your beautiful, useful hands. You're not an ape. You're not a parrot. You're not a slow loris or a smart missile. You're human. Not British, not American, not Israeli, not Palestinian. You're human. Not Catholic, not Protestant, not Muslim, not Hindu. You're human. We all start human. We end up human. Human first, human last. We're human or we're nothing but bombs and poison gas, nothing but guns and torturers, nothing but slaves to greed and war, if we're not human. Look at your body at its amazing systems of nerve wires and blood canals. Think about your mind, which can think about itself and the whole universe. Look at your face, which can freeze into horror or melt into love. Look at all that life, all that beauty. You're human. They are human. We are human. Let's try to be human.
Church is a place where you get to practice what it means to be human. These words from the 20th century theologian, the Unitarian theologian, James Luther Adams, these are words that have long resonated with me. And as Janine mentioned at the start of the service, we made a poster with that quote on it many years ago, and it was up on the wayside pulpit on the street outside the church for a long time. I think we've still got the poster somewhere, and perhaps we'll dig it out and put it up again. Church is a place where you get to practice what it means to be human. What do you make of that saying, I wonder? Although it's a saying that has long appealed to me, I do realise its meaning is actually quite ambiguous. There are all sorts of connotations and associations that I have with this notion of being human. And in this short reflection, I thought I'd offer up a few of them, along with a few more quotes from wise souls on the subject, in the hope of us getting a better grip on what Adams might have been on about. We could start perhaps by grounding our inquiry in that most central principle of Unitarians and Unitarian Universalists, that is, affirming the inherent worth and dignity of every human being. And it's not just a principle of Unitarians, of course. The preamble of the UN Universal Declaration of Human Rights states, "Recognition of the inherent dignity and of the equal and inalienable rights of all members of the human family is the foundation of freedom, justice, and peace in the world." To be human is to have inherent worth and dignity. Now, maybe we can accept that to be true in theory, but in the midst of our everyday lives and all the challenges that holds, it can be hard to keep that noble perspective front and centre in our minds. It is not always that easy to live alongside fellow humans in the real world, where we're liable to rub each other up the wrong way and get up each other's noses on a regular basis. But it's precisely when we're struggling, when there's conflict, when times are tough, whether that's in our homes, our communities, or in the big geopolitical crises, which are so very painful to witness, that is when we need to cleave to that principle more than ever. So maybe Adams is hinting that we need to gather together in church on a regular basis to remind ourselves and each other that, as Desmond Tutu once said, human beings are at the centre of the divine enterprise as creatures of infinite worth and dignity, independent of our work, our ability, or our success. We are each created by God, like God, for God. So this might be what's at the heart of practicing what it means to be human. At church, especially in our small groups, we can keep calling ourselves and each other back to awareness of this inherent worth and dignity we all share. And let us not forget, this is still quite a countercultural message in some ways. In a world that seems hell-bent on convincing us that our worth is dependent on productivity, on our bank balance, on our appearance or ability, or any other accidents of birth that happen to have given us a more or less privileged situation in this life. We need to reject and resist this false narrative, deprogram ourselves, and affirm that all of us, every last one, is a creature of infinite worth and of dignity, independent of our work, our ability, or our success. And as a bit of an aside, I want to tell you, this narrative, this unpleasant productivity narrative, has got its claws in me as much as in anyone else. These last few weeks, as I've first been on holiday and then laid up with COVID for a fortnight, has been this nagging feeling in my brain. I must hurry back to work. I can't sit around doing nothing. I must be seen to be doing something worthwhile. Even though on a conscious level, I really object to that attitude and would not try to apply it to anybody else. Thankfully, many of you kind souls have personally and kindly reassured me that I'm not letting the side down. The to-do list can wait. People will muck in to cover for me, and health and rest for me and for everyone have got to come first. And I'm sure I'm not the only one who, at some level, needs that kind of reassurance, need to be told, I'm still all right, I'm still enough, still deserving of love and support. I don't need to earn it through relentless effort. To be a human being is enough. By virtue of being a member of this human family, I have, and you have, and everybody has, infinite worth and dignity, independent of our work, our ability, and our success. And that means all of us. Maya Angelou got straight to the point, as she so often did when she said this. No human being can be more human than another human being. It's easy enough to speak of the inherent worth and dignity of all humans, but when you think through the implications, it is still pretty challenging to live by, and that is why we need to practice what it means to be human. If we accept this central principle, we need to work out what it means for the way that we actually live our lives, how we get along with other humans, with all our many flaws and foibles in community. We often speak of our common humanity, and we know in some sense we're all in the same boat. We tend to face universal human struggles, though the particular circumstances and challenges that each of us has to deal with will vary enormously. But as has been pointed out before, especially in the last few years, this notion of being in the same boat isn't quite right. It might be better to say we're all in the same storm of life, but we're in very different boats. Some are clinging on to rickety life rafts and others are swanning about on luxury yachts. From the moment we're born, we find ourselves, as the philosophers say, thrown into the world with a particular set of traits from our genes, a particular shaping and inheritance from the situation in which we've been brought up. We find ourselves suddenly on stage in the middle of this epic human drama that's been unfolding for millennia, and we're required to take our place in the ongoing story, to improvise as best we can from a standing start, no matter how ill-equipped we might feel for it. That's what we're all doing. All 8 billion humans that are currently alive, and all of the humans, apparently over 100 billion, who have ever lived. Given that we're all just making it up as we go along, more or less, I'd suggest that another key aspect of practicing what it means to be human requires to cut ourselves and cut others a bit of slack. Terry Pratchett made this pithy observation. He said, "There is no doubt that being human is incredibly difficult and cannot be mastered in one lifetime." I think he's probably right about that. I suspect we probably do only have the one lifetime to play with, so perhaps we can let ourselves off this striving for perfection. And yet, that's not to say we can't make a meaningful mark on the world while we're here on this earth. Even if you don't particularly believe you're here for a reason, even if you don't consider yourself to have a particular calling, at the very least, perhaps we can say you have an opportunity in your life to make a difference, to touch the lives of others, to offer a little bit of help or comfort to those who are within your reach. The psychotherapist Rollo May said, "The essence of being human is that in the brief moment we exist on this spinning planet, we can love some persons and some things in spite of the fact that time and death will ultimately claim us all." To close, I want to offer a few more words of wisdom from Desmond Tutu, words to encourage us to stick at it, to keep on coming together as a church community to practice what it means to be human. He said, "We are made for a delicate network of relationships, of interdependence. I would not know how to be a human being at all, except I learned this from other human beings." So who knows? Maybe what we learn from being together, faithfully showing up for one another week in and week out in this small congregation, maybe that will generate ripples that spread out into the rest of our lives and out into the wider world. May it be so, for the greater good of all. Amen.
Thank you, Jane. Time for our last hymn. It's on your hymn sheet again. "Earth Was Given as a Garden." It's a vision of a more peaceful world, and it's to a tune that will be familiar, I think, to most of us. So again, please stand or sit as you prefer.
Thank you.
Please be seated. Thanks to Ramona for tech hosting and Cherie for co-hosting at home. Thanks to Brian and Patricia for reading. And thanks to Benji and Andrew for the music. Thank you, Juliet. She's gone through to make coffee, and also Patricia again for greeting today. For all of you who are here in person, please do stay for a cuppa after the service. It's served in the hall next door. And if you're joining online, please stay for a chat if you can with Cherie and Jane. For all those who are here in person, there'll be a memorial concert at 3 p.m. today in celebration of Sue Cullen. She was a regular singer here at the church some years ago, and our own Margaret and Harold will be singing, and Andrew will be playing the piano. It will be a mixed concert of songs and duets and spoken poems. And the concert is free and informal. There'll be drinks and refreshments, and all are welcome. So please come to that if you can. We have various small groups and activities during the week, and Heart and Soul, our contemplative spiritual gathering, takes place twice a week online. It's a great way to get to know more people more deeply, and send Jane an email if you want to sign up on Friday or Sunday this evening. The theme will be letter writing. Next Sunday, our service will be titled For All the Saints, as we're coming up to All Saints Day. And that will be led by Jane. And after next Sunday's service, Carolyn will be organising lunch at a local Thai vegetarian buffet. It's in Shepherd's Bush, and everyone will be leaving from the church, or if you can't come to the service, although please do come to the service, but if you can't, you can always meet them there. Please let Carolyn know as soon as possible if you're going to attend. It's £10 cash to go. Some people are already signed up, so it should be really, really great, and the details are in the Friday email. I hear that our community singing group got off to a great start, and it's in collaboration with a local musician. Everyone's welcome. You don't need to read music or anything, and the repertoire is mostly classical pop and folk songs, I hear. And the next session is going to be on Wednesday, the 1st of November. It's at 7 o'clock and it's free. It's here at the church. And the dates will settle into a fortnightly pattern in the new year. So there are some random dates up until then. Details of our various activities are printed on the back of your order of service. And as I said, you know, in the Friday email too. So please do sign up to the mailing list if you haven't done so already. The congregation very much has a life beyond Sunday mornings. We encourage you to keep in touch, look out for each other, and do what you can to nurture supportive connections. I think that's everything, so just time for our closing words and music now. As we head out into another week, in this turbulent and uncertain world, let us be planted firmly on the side of humanity and this planet we share. May we pray for peace and justice. May we speak up and raise our voices. May we encourage as we can. May we engage as we can in acts of resistance and loving disruption. And may we remember to take care of ourselves and each other and all those precious souls we meet along the way. May it be so, for the greater good of all. Amen.